what a pleasure it is to be here in Melbourne with Matt Stone and Trey Parker. And guys, welcome to Melbourne. The Book of Mormon comes here, and being formerly on the Victorian Major Events Committee that lassoed this organisation to come to Melbourne, it was a hard fight to win over Sydney. So you must be feeling pretty welcome here, that everybody's so delighted to have your wonderful musical in Melbourne.
Yeah, everyone's definitely making us feel very welcome.
Yeah, that's great. For sure. No, I mean, we rolled into town a couple of days ago, and we're seeing all these billboards, and everyone's, the show's already in previews, and it's pretty amazing. It's surreal to come this far and have this, you know what I mean, this kind of reception. It's pretty cool.
Well, you've got reception from the actual Mormons too. They've jumped on your bandwagon. They've been advertising for the first time in years on television in prime time. And you've got billboards at train stations. It's crazy.
It's smart, great, right? They're so smart.
They did that in the beginning, you know, in America. They did the same thing where they actually bought ads in the Playbill, you know, the thing that's in your on your seat when you come to the in the original Broadway production. They bought ads in that.
But it's so great too, because it's their MO. They're just so nice. They just get you with niceness, you know, and they take out ads that's just like, hey, you've seen the show, now read the book, you know. And it's just like, it's not at all, you know. And it's and we knew that because we're from Colorado, which is right next to Utah, and so we grew up around a bunch of Mormons. We grew up learning about Mormons, so we knew that culture. So when we went to New York, and a lot of people were like, oh man, what are they gonna do? We're like, they're gonna be really nice, and they're gonna like take ads out and stuff.
I've had the pleasure of being able to see the Book of Mormon on a couple of occasions in New York City, and it is wonderful. It is a great, I mean, I must admit, I went in expecting to be, you know, let's see what comes from this, and sat back and just laughed my head off all the way through. In much the same way as I did as a young good Catholic boy going to see Life of Brian for the first time.
Yeah, sure.
And you think, okay, and you walk out and you question so many things. And so too, I think people will realise when they come to see Book of Mormon that it's not about abusing religions. It's about shining a light in a very comedic way on it. And you walk away and you make your own conclusions from that. Is that sort of where you're heading with this whole process?
We wrote it with Bobby Lopez. And when we met him, we kind of bonded over this like fascination about Mormons, and we talked about doing a musical about Mormons. And immediately, one of the first things, how we knew it would work with Bobby, was we all said, let's do a musical that like kind of celebrates Mormons, you know. We have fun with the whole thing, but like we don't want to bash Mormons. And that's when we knew, when we met Bobby, that like, oh, we could have it all.
Yeah,
you know, you could make a musical which has to be positive, and you have to walk out of a theater feeling good. Like, what, you know, musicals can't be negative.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole construct of it. And so, that was always our intention, was to do something sort of positive about Mormons.
And at some stage when you're going through that process, I mean, some of the songs that are in there get people's attention with some of the language. And I mean, I find them hilarious. Other people have been offended. What's the decision-making process on how far you could go before you started to really make it hard for people to watch?
Well, usually in South Park, we have this thing in America called standards and practices, where like there's a committee of people at the network could tell you what you can and can't do. I mean, as far as we found out, and like, if you're doing it on stage, like you can just do whatever is legal. I mean,
theater's
if it's
like
legal, you can do it.
One of the last entertainment things where there's no ratings of any, you know, even us making video games, there's ratings, you know, movie, there's ratings. It's just like, this was one of the last things. It's like, oh, we can just do whatever we want, you know.
It's
and
safe
so,
because it's in the room.
Yeah,
with a lot more, even though seemingly there's no taboo on South Park.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it has to work. I mean, people either respond to it or they don't. Yeah. But part of the rush of it was doing this material on a Broadway stage.
And I suppose the thing is, if you come to the theatre, you generally know what you're coming to see in some way, shape or form. You pay your money, you come in. So it's not like you can sort of see things on TV.
Yeah, and you can't get that money back.
Exactly.
We don't do refunds. So.
Exactly.
So it's fine. It works for us.
It's one thing to turn on the television and accidentally, or you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's another thing to pay hundreds of dollars and accidentally get dressed up and accidentally end up. I mean, I have no idea what you're walking into.
You're complicit. Yeah.
Okay. It's your fault.
And Rosie was saying,
this strip club, what is this place? Yeah, what is
Never
this?
Knew.
I didn't know about this.
My friend Beck is doing merch for you guys here at the Princess Theatre, and she said that she's noticed there's been two walkouts, and she was thinking, how the hell do you not at least do some sort of research? But she was quite impressed that there's only a couple, because it is quite ribald.
Yeah, we only saw one our whole month of previews in New York, where it was one walkout, you know. And again, you know, it's like you're not getting your money back, so there's no reason to walk out. So
might as well see it through.
Might as well sit through and see if it gets any better.
Another friend of mine, Liz, sent me this message last night saying, I've seen big productions like King Kong Singing in the Rain here in Melbourne, but this hands down is the most all-singing dancing show with without big effects, and I effing loved it. It's joyous potty mouth fun with a message.
That's great. That's
well, and that's, again, it's like, that's, I think if we had made a 2-hour cynical thing of just bashing Mormons, it would, no one wants to sit and watch, no matter what you think of Mormons, you don't want to sit there and watch something get bashed for 2 hours and just be cynical and unhappy.
And
you
it
know?
Is it's like, we, it is a traditional musical in a lot of ways. Yeah. I mean, and we don't rely on big effects or big, like, you know, snazzy special effects or anything. And it's just a traditional.
There is a point where the lights go off and come back on.
Yeah. We have little things, little cheapy things.
Well, I've got to confess, I thought it was the funniest program of any type that I've seen as a musical. It was just hilarious and it was wonderful. It was uplifting in every way, shape and form. Can I ask you guys, I must admit, I chuckled again to myself in New York recently when I saw that there was a South Park window in the Barney's Christmas window.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
How crazy is that, right?
You must start laughing at these things. Here you are in Melbourne, Australia, talking about this. Suddenly, you know, South Park, which everybody wanted to have pulled off air and was terrible, you know, going to ruin all the moral fiber of our young people. And now it's the Barney's Christmas window.
I know. It's just
They'll invite you right into the party eventually, you know.
Now we're those guys.
Yeah, we're those guys.
Hey, guys, tell us about the Australian production.
It was great. I mean, we actually went by last night. We had some time. We went by, watched part of the show last night, and that is one of the things about live theater that, like, you know, when you go see live theater and it's not good, it can be pretty painful.
Yeah.
But when it's good, it's like better than anything, and it can be better than watching a movie, or it can be better than watching anything. But it really does depend on the people up on stage and what they're doing with it. Mm-hmm. And we saw the performers here last night, and they were phenomenal. You know, and the energy they bring to it, and then the audience is also like one of the almost a presence that also, you know, influences the show. The crowd was great.
Yeah,
the performers are great.
It was really nice.
Yeah,
I do want to warn people though that there is no center aisle. So I noticed that. So if you're in the center seats, really go to the bathroom before
you're
the show starts.
You're
in the middle.
Hey, guys, what's next? I mean, is Donald Trump just riding? You couldn't keep up with Donald Trump, could you?
You can't even.
You can't keep up.
He's doing his own bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't make fun of it.
It's post-satire, you know. It's like living in a Kurt Vonnegut novel or something. So it's like we're having, people keep saying to us like, oh, this must be great, all this material. And we're like, I don't know.
No, he's doing it all.
Yeah,
he's doing all the material.
Real.
Oh, shit, we were going to do that too. He's doing that today. Oh, that was my idea.
Can you believe what's happened in the last couple of months in America?
No, it's crazy.
No, and we won't believe what will happen in the next few months coming from now either.
Where do you think it's going?
We really don't know. I mean, we were as shell shocked as anyone. You know, it was just like this. You know, it was just everyone was like, "Oh, just wait for the guy to self implode. He's gonna go away." You know, and he just keeps on trucking. Yeah. So
we have faith in America, I guess. Yeah. Bottom line, but we're having a bit of a wobble right now.
Yeah. Trying not to scream. Yeah. 20 years of South Park. Are you finding it more difficult now to get away with stuff than you did back then? Because we find with our work in radio, it's just the Twitter atmosphere now everyone has the moral police, I think, is just coming down on everyone.
Permanently outraged, yeah.
We did season 19 was really a lot about that. And season 22, 20 also. But it is interesting. And it's interesting. And it also, I think that we've talked about it in the show a lot, and it makes us feel old in a way, you know, not in a totally bad way, but just to have been in comedy long enough to see these waves of political correctness and then a blowback against that. And then again, and it's just really interesting because we're also like, we're to do comedy for as long as we have, like someday you won't be funny. I mean, comedy's not an old guy thing to do. You know what I mean? It's a young person's, game. And so it is, I find it really interesting, but yeah, we've felt that kind of,
but it's also
tone.
We just sort of have a brand, and I think that's part of why
we're grandfathered.
They sort of put South Park stamp on the Book of Mormon for that same reason we were talking, like you know what you're in for. So it's weird for us because we'll see something that's like, oh man, these people are getting in trouble for saying this, and we're like, wow, we said that like 2 weeks ago. But it's just, we have a, you know, for someone to go, I was really offended by what I saw in South Park last night, just sounds stupid already.
It's so outrageous.
It's quite funny, isn't it, the moment where, you know, you guys have outraged people, but with a sense of humour and a gentleness along the way, if you can be gentle in outraging people, but with a message to it. Yet in American politics at the moment, we've got people who are so aggressively, and the hatred is on the table, with no sense of humour, who are bagging on things that you guys have done and that type of
situation. It's just people who don't know how to be funny. It's like, leave it. We're like, leave it to the professionals, but Like we're supposed, like leave, let us do the jokes. Don't bring the jokes out into the real world.
Politics.
Don't live the jokes. Yeah.
It's like one of your characters has become the United States president. Exactly. Well, of course, you guys picked it so many years ago.
Yeah.
So you know, it's an amazing situation to see what's going on. Hey, Mick Molloy, who's our colleague who couldn't be with us today, is one of Australia's great comedians and has also been one of our great filmmakers as well. And he's a great part of our show. Loves everything you guys do. He did ask one question on our radio show yesterday, and he said, "Can you ask the guys about taking LSD and going to the Oscars?" Now I know it's something that gets asked all the time, but can you tell us was it what you thought it would be?
I don't remember.
Did it make it more interesting?
Yeah, it was surreal. It was trippy. It just seemed like the thing to do at the time. I don't know why. Looking back, it's like in one way, I'm just so proud that we did that. It was just such an F you to the whole culture of like, it was more about the line. It was more about the wearing the dresses. It was about that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. We just decided to do it. And I just remember getting out of the car and there's that moment where you're like, we can just not get out of this car.
Is Hollywood going even further? I mean, every day we see another award ceremony. It just seems to be going out of control.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous. But, you know, and that was the thing. We were kind of so known to be anti-Hollywood in the show. So that's what South Park was kind of all about. And yet we were like, but we got to go. Like, we got nominated. Like, we got to go. And so I'm just actually really thankful we didn't win because, I said, I was out of my head. And I don't know. If we had won and had to gone up on stage, it might have been the end of my career because I have no idea what I would have said.
Hey, guys, tell us, you've been in Melbourne for 24 hours and you've gone out and seen the comedy animal of Australia, the platypus, I understand.
Yes, I love it. I love platypi, platypuses.
I think it's platypi.
Platypi.
Did you enjoy going out there? I mean,
I didn't really have time to do anything, but I was like, I have to see a platypus and I have to see a wombat.
Yeah.
And so I got to go see a platypus, like actually hold my, it was a male, so I could have died. You know, I could have stuck, whatever they do. But
brave.
But he put his little bill on my hand and it was pretty cute.
Aww.
Yeah. we think it's funny because you guys have been out to Hillsville Sanctuary and every visiting American goes out there. Have you ever been?
Don't even know where it is.
No. Yeah, I know.
There you go. It's a great place there. Hey, guys, thank you very much for being with us this morning. We really appreciate it. This show is something that I recommend to anybody to go and have a laugh. If you've got any sort of sense of humour, you'll love it. Is there one last thing that you can leave our listeners this morning with in what they, not to expect, but what sort of mindset should they come in and enjoy this? In writing this unbelievable play.
Well, just that we, I mean, this came out of a love for musicals, you know, and so we wanted to, all the things that we love about a good musical, we tried to put into this, you know, so it's just hopefully a really fun night out. And there's a lot of really talented people, you know, in the cast and all around that make it just a great show.
Great stuff. Guys, we really appreciate you being on Triple M's Hot Breakfast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your stay in Melbourne.
Thank you.